T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
You know how you find something, Lee, and you want to keep it a secret, like something great? You don't want to tell everybody because that'll ruin it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's how I feel about the Upstate. Unfortunately, the word is out.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I know.
We're doomed.
Yeah, we're doomed. 8 Upstate cities and communities are among the fastest growing in the nation. This is, according to LendEDU, it's a New Jersey-based personal finance information website. Anyway, they looked at growth rates. Of cities. You had to have at least 15,000 residents in your city to make this list. So they list the top 1,000 in the country. Listen to this. This is how the Upstate communities, all ranked for growth. So it's purely on math. Clemson was the fastest growing, nationwide rank 30. So 30th fastest growing city. Travelers Rest, nationwide rank 83 fastest growing city. 5-year population projection percent increase from current population, 12% growth. They're saying Clemson's going to grow by another third over the 33% over the next 5 years. That's incredible. Fountain Inn ranked 91. They're saying Fountain Inn over the next 5 years will grow by 25%, but it's 91 right now. I mean, so those three are in the top 100 fastest growing. You look at Taylor's nationwide rank for fastest growing, 124. Greenville, 143. Malden, 146. Listen to this. Their 5-year population projection increase for Greenville, Lee, based on current growth, is 23%.
Good.
We're going to grow another 23%.
Well, guess we're going to divide Woodruff Road again.
Yeah, we just might as well go ahead and start the next widening, next.
Do like the Chinese do and just build a highway on top of it, you know?
Yeah, why not? I think we're going to have to do something like that. I mean, you look at Taylor's, look at this. 5-year population projection increase based on current growth rates, 20%.
Good grief.
Fountain Inn again, 25% growth in the next 5 years. Do you look at Greer? Greer is in a little bit behind. It's 262 for population growth, but the 5-year population projection growth based on current rates, listen to this, 36%.
Mercy.
I know. I mean, you might as well just forget Woodruff Road altogether. Just don't even get on. It's no point. You know what I mean?
Nobody goes there anymore. It's too crowded.
Look at this, Simpsonville. It's 345 in growth for the nation, but the 5-year population projection percent increase, blah, blah. They're saying basically it'll grow by 23% over the next 5 years. Those are massive numbers. I mean, you should be able to visibly notice over the next few years traffic just getting crazy. You dump that many people in here? Yeah, I know. I mean, so this place is hot. It's hopping and people want to move here. And part of it, they say, is it's still affordable for home buyers.
Right.
For now. So, I'm not happy about any of this. I'm not. I love this place. I like it just like it is.
Property values go up, though. So
yeah, so there's that, I guess. Yeah. But I like this place just like it is. I don't want it to change. And I can tell the difference in traffic in the 5 years I've been here. It's physically noticeable, and this is why. So this is what's coming. All right, so you had an encounter with a...
Yeah, I had a mask Nazi.
You had a mask Nazi, okay.
Yes, I mean... We were on Seabrook Island, and there was a very nice area. I really liked the way they had this done. They actually had a boardwalk for the public access to the beach.
Mm-hmm.
We were like, one block off the beach. We didn't spring for the one that's right on the beach. But at any rate, so we, had to cross the road, had to go through the public access there on the boardwalk. And they had a nice little, wooden boardwalk that went through this between these other two apartment complexes there. And it went all the way to the dunes. And they even had a nice little... plastic fabric, some type of fabric mat that that was over the sand. So as I am toting the wagon with all of the accoutrement that Mrs. Rogers wants for the beach, you know, the cooler and the umbrellas and the chairs and all that other stuff. And so I was happy to see that. So I wasn't, about to stroke out dragging that wagon with those tiny thin wheels, which I told her not to get, through that thick sand. Because you want the wide wheels. You want the wide ones because it distributes the weight better. But anyway, so it's in the evening, and we were going for coming back, rather, from a little walk on the beach with the family and everything. And I'll be honest with you, some of us were masked up and some were not. And they had a mask requirement for the city on the boardwalk. A mask must be worn, $50 fine. So we were doing that. And as we went down there, we were going down there, and I noticed there was a family, a young family. They had kids, a couple of kids, a little boy and a little girl, maybe, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 years old or whatever, and they weren't wearing masks. I just noticed it, but it's no big deal. I wasn't going to say anything to them. Why in the world would I? I was wearing one, and I wasn't concerned about it. I had the little gaiter so I can, you know, put it on, take it off real quick, not have to worry about it. So we're coming back from the beach, and we get up there to the area where they've got the little wash-off place, you know, where you wash the sand off your feet. And it's getting dark. It's the light's going down. And so there's this couple there. If you had put a poster couple for white liberals.
Oh, no.
Oh, I'm just telling you. I mean, I can envision and I didn't see what they were. Well, they did drive off in a golf cart later. But I'm sure that they had a Biden-Harris bumper sticker on the back of their Volvo or Prius as they went to Harris Teeter to get their tofu and whatever else. Very well overdressed. And it was just funny because we were standing around there well away from them. And the woman looks up. She's got her mask on. Her husband's got her mask on as they're washing the sand off of their rainbows. And she says, "What's going on here? We have a mask ordinance. Some of you are wearing it. Some of you are not." And just like starts huffing and puffing. It's like, you're supposed to, the rules say you're supposed to be wearing a mask, and just leaves. So thankfully she left before she heard what my son was saying to her, which was nothing profane, just a little bit accusatory. But at any rate, it was just so funny because we've seen plenty of people who were wearing masks on the boardwalk and those who weren't. And quite honestly, most of my family, we have been trying to follow that as much as possible. But it was like the evening. There was nobody else out there for the most part. We were just going to the boardwalk to the beach for a little quick little walk up and down the beach, you know, as it was getting dark. No big deal. I mean, we ran into like those are the only other two people other than that previous couple we ran into the whole time. And it was just one of those, I really haven't had one of those where anybody said anything to me or people with me.
So just to be clear, this isn't one of these like newfangled covered boardwalks where
it's indoors, right?
Full on outdoors.
Oh, it is outside. We are outside. Okay. We are between two apartment complexes crossing the dunes, Seabrook Island, outside. And this is a completely open space. There's a little, you know, it's a boardwalk and it's got a little built-in place where it's got the little shower, you wash your feet and whatever. And they're standing there, and we're well away from them, good 6 feet away from them outside. And I guess she was just intimidated by the sheer number and size of some of us, I'm sure, because, quite honestly, they look like they had been dining on tofu for a long time, if you get my drift.
Right, yeah. Mm.
They won't be going to PhD weight loss anytime soon, I can assure you that. But at any rate, it just amazed me. This is the first time I've had that encounter where anyone has said anything to me or anyone around me about whether or not they're wearing a mask or anything. And didn't get an opportunity to speak to her as she was huffing and puffing off. But, you know, I'd have said, "Hey, you're wearing one, so what are you worried about?"
Yeah, that would be pretty much my response.
If the mask works, you're wearing one, what's the problem?
Here's the thing. Okay, I've never been on the beach or anywhere at the beach. I used to live at the beach, Myrtle Beach, and Charleston, where there isn't a really strong wind blowing out there. I've never seen it calm. I mean, you guys had the wind blowing. She knows.
There was a mild breeze. I mean, this is an inlet area. It's not really on the beach. It's one of those where the inlet to the intercoastal waterway sort of comes in. It's between Edisto and Seabrook, Johns Island, that area.
Okay. People are just nuts.
I know. Absolutely.
You would think me, I mean, I like I said, I deliberately shop in places where I cannot wear a mask, and we do have them in the upstate. There are certain establishments that very quietly allow you to go maskless. Yeah. I shop there. I'm not going to name them because I don't want the mask Nazis in their parking lot. But I deliberately shop there, and it's actually been kind of cool because I have shopped at a couple grocery stores I never would have shopped at before, and I go out of my way. It is a pain in my butt, but to not wear the mask, but I do because that's my choice. And you walk in there, you know, no mask requirement. That's on you. You don't want to do that, then don't walk in there. Yeah, that's exactly where I shop. And I am waiting for someone to say something to me, and no one has.
Yeah.
So I've been surprised, pleasantly surprised, that no one has said anything.
Well, I think most South Carolinians, except with some, you know, exceptions of some groups, are not going to say anything, because it's not that they don't think that this is serious, but it's just that I think that most folks have the sense that this is sort of overblown. We're being overprotective. And for those who want to follow, fine. Now, granted, the woman was technically legally correct. There was a big sign, you know, mask required on the boardwalk, $50 fine, town of Seabrook or whatever it was, Johns Island, whatever, had that there. That's fine. And like I said, there was no intent here, if you catch my drift on that, to break the law. It's just simply that, you know, about half my party that was there had simply forgotten. And we had, you know, just going for the walk down the beach, crossing the road, going down there. It's no big deal. And like I said, there were others. Nobody else was making any big deal about it. But this little NPR listening couple decided to make an issue of it. At least the woman identifying as a woman, you know.
Right. Yes. Don't misgender her.
Exactly. I don't want to do that. I should say they.
So you know what I'm seeing, though, all over town, just real quick, we're late on the segment, I know, people are very half-hearted about their masks. Have you noticed this?
Oh, absolutely.
It's like half of them are walking around with their nose sticking out.
Exactly.
I go to my kids' sports events, which are, you know, my child plays on the school team for the school system. So, and the parents, man, they're dialing it in.
Oh, yeah.
Because you can't sit in that hot gym for the whole game.
No.
And by the time the game's halfway through, everybody's nose is out.
Oh, yeah.
Which tells me nobody is afraid of this thing. We're all in costume.
Yeah.
We're just in costume.
We're just following the rules, whether the rules have any scientific basis
or
not.
Yeah, barely.
Yeah.
You know, they call it trifling. You know what I mean?
Yes.
We're like tri-failing. Yes. Like you're really not trying very hard, and if you fail, that's okay. People just, I mean, and you see it in the grocery store, too. It's like people are just barely going through the motions, leaving their nose out. Nobody's saying anything to them about, hey, your nose is sticking out.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so people just, they don't believe it. I'd love to know if they had a choice walking through there, how many of them would have masks on? I'd bet it'd be less than half. People just don't buy this thing. But they got no choice if they want to go about their regular life without an attack by a mask Nazi.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
A lot of folks reacting to this. I mean, truly staggering numbers. In the Greenville News this morning, it's a ranking of, we basically have eight upstate cities that are among the nation's fastest growing, as ranked by LendEDU. They looked at the 1,000 fastest growing cities. To make the list, you had to have at least 15,000 residents. But again, I mean, you look at this, the fastest growing city is Clemson. Nationwide ranked 30, right? But here's the kicker, is these five-year population growth projections based on the current growth. Clemson projected, based on the current growth rate, to grow by a third, 33% in 5 years. 5 years. Travelers Rest projected to grow by 13% over the next 5 years. Fountain Inn, a whopping 25% growth in the next 5 years. Taylor's, whopping 20%. So if you've moved kind of to the out places, you don't want to be bothered. Travelers Rest, Fountain Inn, Taylor's to some extent. I don't know. Taylor's kind of suburban. Kind of a mix. I mean, you're not escaping the population is coming from. I mean, Taylor's projected to grow by 20% in the next. That's you know, a fifth, even in Common Core math. By you know, in the next 5 years, at Greenville, this is the staggering number right here, because Greenville starts with such a big base population. Greenville, the 143rd fastest growing city in the country. But here's the population projection that's the kicker. 5 year population growth projection. You ready for this? We are projected to grow 23.82%. Let's round it up and say 24. 24. I mean, it's like, that's crazy. In 5 years? And if you told me that was going to be in 10 years, I'd be like, wow. I mean, I'd still be doing this story this morning. Malden, which has been booming, 5 year population projection for Malden, 11%, almost 12, 11.8. Now look at this one. Greer projected to grow a whopping 36% in the next 5 years. And parts of Greer are still nice and rural. So, yeah. And Simpsonville projected to grow 23%. In the next 5 years. So you are going to, I mean, literally, if you're paying attention to this, you are literally going to see, be able to see the traffic just grow. You put all that together, those eight upstate cities and look, and all of that projected growth. Oh my gosh, this place is going to be a zoo. It's an absolute zoo. All right. Texture rates. I was in Target, Walmart, and Publix this weekend. No mask. I don't own a mask and still haven't worn one in a store. No one has said anything to me yet. That's fascinating. Really? Was that, okay, you said you were in Target, Walmart, and Publix. Was that in Greenville? Because we do have that mask ordinance. I'm curious. Texter writes, that means more cars on Woodruff Road. Yeah, you're not kidding. Texter writes, say goodbye to this area. Look at Cary, North Carolina, 40 years ago, and now Liberal Haven. They all come and pollute us with politics. Texter writes, did Lee's mask accuser get within 6 feet of him to accuse him? Oh, I didn't ask him that. He should have told her to back off. Quit violating his social distance space. Hey, that's a good comeback. Now the texter writes, remember COVID could float for hundreds of feet in the grocery store. Remember the video simulations? Let's all put on a face shield that just dumps the virus out the bottom and around the edges so it can disperse through the air. That'll protect us. It's all insane, every bit of it. So is our country and just about everybody that runs it but Trump. Now the texter writes, Tara, I'm listening about mask wearing in a grocery store. I'm curious about your opinion on smoking indoors, bars, restaurants, grocery stores. I don't know. I don't smoke anymore. I don't really pay attention to it, I got to tell you. Texter writes, just tell them you're asthmatic and can't wear one. Now the texter writes, I was confronted by the manager in Staples for not wearing a mask. He was wearing a BLM shirt too. Oh my. Now the texter writes, hey, Tara, don't forget most of the 23% of new people moving here will be Democrats. That seems to be the way it's going. Yeah, because we don't have to flee. We didn't do it. No, you vote for Democrats, you're going to end up fleeing. And then telling yourself, because they always do. No, they just did it wrong where I came from. We'll do it right this time. Texter writes, I pick up trash downtown Greenville and I see all of the New York, New Jersey, Massachusetts, Ohio, California, Maine, etc. I guess you mean license plates. I think George Soros is pumping them in to make South Carolina purple or blue. I wouldn't put it past him. Interesting observation, though. Let's jump on the line with Robert in Traveler's Rest. Hey, Robert.
Hey, Tara, you know, masks are a really interesting subject. I think it's a little bit like moving chairs on the Titanic right now, but mental acuity is a question in this election for me. You're more familiar with that saying, those whom the gods wish to destroy, they first make mad. Just a few things along those lines. You know, Pharaoh didn't know if he was coming or going in the end, chasing after the Israelites. Diocletian was the last Roman emperor, walking around Rome, talking to himself, gone mad, soiling his pants. Herod went crazy. Haman went crazy. Biden and Pelosi, I mean, their mental acuity should be the number one topic this morning in my checklist, I think, you know.
Yeah, especially since they've had to rest Biden since Thursday, take him off the campaign trail. To get him to the point where he can even debate. I mean, this is a guy whose position essentially is, we're going to put a lid on it. I don't need to campaign. It's beneath me. I mean, but it's the same guy who tells you he would have totally had the COVID so handled that not one, it wouldn't have been one death Not one at all. Well, how are you going to do that when you can't make it to noon in the...
This isn't the time for defense. This is the time for offense. I mean, masks, this is something that is a waste of time. Trump did an ingenious payroll protection program, ventilators for everyone. He ramped up CVS and 3M amazingly on free deliveries and masks and on N95s, therapeutics in record time. I mean, infrastructure, you're talking on the air there about diversity training in Malden. I mean, this is a waste of time. It's offense time. It's time to throw the long ball, you know?
Yeah, it ultimately, and thank you for your phone call, come down to how Trump and Biden do on Tuesday. It's going to be kind of interesting because Biden, back when he had it all together, was not a bad debater. I mean, he wiped the floor with Paul Ryan. He did during the vice presidential debate. I'll never forget that. So, I mean, if they can get him ramped up on some good drugs and just get 2 good hours out of him mentally without a teleprompter, if he can just have on 2 hours, I mean, it may surprise you how well he does against Trump if that Biden shows up. The question is, can he make it for that long? Can he hold it together that long? I don't know what the answer is on that. I want to jump into this. Amy Coney Barrett was exactly who I hoped he'd pick of the two women that were being floated last week. The problem with the very nice Cuban woman from Florida is that she just didn't have a very long judicial record. And that has turned out very, very poorly for us. So I was hoping Trump wouldn't go with, you know, hey, let's try to win Florida. I don't think that would have swayed too many votes. Here's the thing about Amy Coney Barrett. This just gives you an idea of where she comes from. This is why the Democrats are so terrified of her. She talked in past speeches she's given about lashing herself to the mast of the Constitution. She did this the first time while answering questions at a lecture at Notre Dame. Here's what she said. I use the example of my constitutional law students, the future judge told her audience after the lecture of Odysseus resisting the sirens, that the Constitution is like when Odysseus ties himself to the mast of the ship to resist the song of the sirens. Remember, they're trying to tempt him. And he tells his crew, don't untie me no matter how much I plead. That's what we've done as the American people with the Constitution. So she gets it. This is a woman who clerked for Scalia, says her style is very much like Scalia's. And one of the things that she did that I love that tells me that she gets your job as a judge is not to figure out what's the best for the country. It's not to figure out what's hip and hot and new now and evolved. It's not to do any of that. It is to interpret the Constitution as written during the period, written period, end of memo. We should all be originalists on the court, figuring it out. And there was a case out of New York that I think is pretty telling. It was a guy who had committed mail fraud. So he was a felon, but he wasn't a violent felon. He committed mail fraud. So he was challenging for the right as a felon, said no, it was unconstitutional to take his gun away. And the majority said, no, we do whatever. She actually came down in the dissent, said, no, you can't. And her argument was an originalist one. She actually went back to the period to see, you know, did they have felons back then? And what were the founders doing and advocating for at the time? And in taking guns away from felons, particularly nonviolent ones, just was not a thing. I mean, it was unheard of. It was not the mindset they were in. And so she came down in the dissent. So that's what you want a Supreme Court justice. You don't want someone arguing, well, I think that the best thing to do, I don't care what you think. That's not the point. What you think is not the point. It's what did they intend? And in order to preserve our union, that can never change. And so she actually wrote a dissent on that one in favor of nonviolent felons, which was the question in the case, in favor of nonviolent felons owning guns. Again, not because she thought that was a swell idea. That's not the judge's job. And many of the judges cannot comprehend this. Ruth Bader Ginsburg was one of them. It is not your job to figure out what is the best for us. That's not your job. Your job is to figure out what would the founding fathers do. You ever seen those people wear those arm bracelets? WWJD, what would Jesus do? What do? You go back to the Bible. You could pretty much say what Jesus would do. Or take your best human shot at it. Using the text as written, well, it's WW, founding fathers do. What would the founding fathers do? She gets that. That is exactly what we need on that court, particularly with Scalia gone. Now, listen to this. NRA loves her. Gun rights groups love her, understandably, because she's an originalist. Now, listen to where we are right now, because this shows you how dire the situation is with the Supreme Court. By the way, I got a text the other day. Somebody says to me, why are we talking about a 4-4 Supreme Court? Isn't it a 5-3? No, it's 4-4. Because Justice Roberts, the Bush judge, has revealed himself to be the Democrat that he is. He is not an originalist. He's whatever they want at the wine and cheese parties, which is what Bush is. He's behaving just as Bush would have him behave. It's whatever's hip, whatever's hot. You know, right now, find a tax where there is, is none. Find things in the law where there isn't one, whatever it takes. And so when you look at John Roberts, listen to this line. This was written by John Lott over the weekend, talking about the dire situation that we're in. The Supreme Court considered 10 Second Amendment cases this year, but ultimately declined to hear any of them. Okay, so what's going on? John Lott is a gun expert. He's writing in Real Clear Politics. What's going on is we've had these circuit courts, these federal circuit courts, rip the Second Amendment to shreds with these horrible rulings that they have been doing. I'll tell you about those in a minute. And the Supreme Court, he writes, considered 10 Second Amendment cases this year, but ultimately decided not to hear any of them. Why would the four Republican-appointed judges, really three, not want to hear a gun case? Right? Think they'd want to affirm the Second Amendment, right? No. He writes that these justices are voting against hearing gun rights cases, fearing that Chief Justice John Roberts would side with the liberal justices and chip away at our Second Amendment. That's how dire this situation is. This is what happens when you let a Bush appoint somebody to the Supreme Court. Roberts has already done so on cases concerning religious freedom, immigration, and Obamacare. It has been, listen to this, 10 years since the court heard any gun control cases. In the meantime, circuit courts controlled by Democrats with jurisdictions over 24 states plus D.C. have approved even the most draconian state gun control regulations. In other words, completely anti-constitutional. These courts have upheld the refusals of California, Hawaii, Maryland, Massachusetts, New York, and New Jersey to recognize that people have a right to self-defense outside of their homes. I mean, you can't get any more fundamental than that. That is the heart of the Second Amendment. Of course we have a right to defend ourselves from both our government and, you know, a burglar. Such states as California and Illinois require residents to pay $400 to $1,000 just to get concealed carry permits, putting gun ownership out of reach for minorities in high-crime neighborhoods. This stuff needs to be slapped down. So what he's saying is these justices are terrified of Roberts. They're afraid he'll codify that in law. No, you got no right to self-defense. Oh, my, what a disaster. Illinois completely bars non-residents from carrying guns. Handguns now in California will have to be micro-stamped, a technology nobody has figured out how to do, to imprint a unique identifying code on each shell case so you can tell which gun the bullet came from. Handguns that don't meet California's impossible standard will soon be banned. That's pretty much all of them. So you've got Alito, Thomas, afraid to death of Roberts. This is why we need her. To the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line we go, which is 71307. Text writes, hey, Tara, is Lindsey Graham running out the clock on the Supreme Court nominee? Possible. Possible. I mean, it looks like we're going to have like a 10-day long approval process. That's just too long. But we just approved her for the circuit court. Come on, we don't need this. That's going to be Democrat theater. Endless hysteria. Why? Why give them that? They wouldn't do it to us. They wouldn't do it for us. Are you kidding me? Texter writes, Biden will end up just getting mad during the debate and call him names like a lying dog-faced pony soldier or challenge him to a push-up contest. We can only hope. Oh, they'll have him good and doped. Trump isn't joking either. He wants to take a drug test. Oh, my God. Oh, boy. Yeah. It's nuts. Nah, it's totally nuts. By the way, did you see what happened with Biden? I am endlessly fascinated by Biden's compulsive lying problem. It is truly a psychological problem. I've been fascinated buy it for a long time. And that's why when many of you, you know, told me in the past, hey, Biden's this formidable candidate, not if you know his history. He is not well. He is not psychologically well. Hasn't been for a long time. He can't stop lying. He can't. It literally, it's compulsive with him. It's way beyond what most politicians do. He just got caught. Do you know what he did on the campaign trail in 2019? This was end of the year 2019. And he's running around talking about how he got his start at a black college. And he said, those are my people, man. You know, so here's Joe Biden, and he's running around, and he's, man, he got his start in college. He started off at the black college. You'd have to be crazy to tell a lie like that. It's so easy to check. It's so easy. Yet he's on the campaign trail, lies about going to a black college. Anyway, we'll get more into this in the next hour. The London Daily Mail, one of the few places you can get actual reporting on what's going on in the United States, got to go to another continent, came out and said, they actually called him to check. Hey, did Joe ever go there? Nope. I mean, can you imagine if Trump did that? Just, it would never end. It was a historically black Delaware State University. So this is a black school. So Joe's trying to show you how he really wasn't a segregationist, even though he was. And he didn't really support segregation of the races, even though he did. And he you know, did that in a PBS interview. So now he just makes up, yeah, me, I went to Delaware State University. It's a historically black college. Yeah, I got my start there. He didn't go there. He did get an honorary degree from Delaware State University. Eventually, it was a couple years ago. He was the commencement keynote speaker in 2003 and 2016. He was awarded an honorary doctorate degree, but he didn't go there, and he claims he did. He's not, well, I mean, forget the dementia. He's not psychologically well.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.